Hi, everyone. Welcome back to your unlicensed therapist. XO, your unlicensed therapist. I'm Kate, one of your unlicensed therapists. And today, we have a really special guest. Yay! It's Caros DePietro and my dog, Marnie. As per usual, who's always here, but you're getting a video visual today. So she's sitting right in the center of us, her back turned to you. Sorry, you don't get to see her face. Pay for her Patreon if you want to see her face. But okay, well, welcome to my podcast, Kara.
Thanks for having me.
Kara and I have been friends for 2 years.
Yeah, a while.
I think 2 years. Yeah. And we met through 54 Below. Yeah, we met through 54 Below. We performed there a couple times together. And you may know her from the TikTok where she is the sparkliest little sprite. That's how I would describe you to anyone who like didn't understand your platform. I'd be like, she's just like a sparkly little sprite.
Thanks.
A little fairy girl, which you are. You're like a sparkly little fairy girl. So do you want to talk a little bit about like who you are, what your vibe is? Obviously not like, I'm Kara and I have a TikTok presence and here how it's, this is what I do and brand near the brands that I work with. Like more like about you, like where you come from, your experience, stuff like that.
Yeah. So I'm Kara. I'm 24. I'm originally from Boston.
Period.
I've lived in New York for about like 2.5 years now, a bit on and off. Like we come and mm-hmm. we go, but it's been about 2.5 years. Which is crazy.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, I'm an actor. That's how we met.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just kind of doing the thing. Yeah, I do social media and I make a lot of content about like what it's like to be an actor here and a person here. And I talk a lot about like mental health and like theater and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah. What has your journey been like? So this podcast is mainly about like mental health and like obviously in the title XO, you're unlicensed therapists. Have you like been to therapy? What has your journey been with mental health in that way?
Yeah. So I've spent a lot of time in therapy and I'm a big fan of it. I think everybody needs it.
So true.
And I think it's so interesting. Something that I like realized very recently is I always had gone to therapy for one like very specific, very like large thing. And then once that part of my life wasn't as all consuming, I then had the realization of like, oh, wait, now I have to go to therapy for the normal human stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, now I have to talk about just like the life stuff that I'm stressed about that don't.
So true.
Yeah, because you feel like
you go for one reason
and it's like this big thing.
And then it goes away.
And then all of a sudden I'm like, wait a minute. I need to go back now to just deal with the person stuff.
Yes.
Like life being stressful and like being an actor here is crazy.
Being in a relationship.
Yeah. Like just the general life things, being an adult.
It's hard.
Which is so crazy.
No, it is. I actually was thinking about that the other day. Robin and I talked about that on our first episode of like the thing that brings you to therapy is often not the thing that you talk about the most mm-hmm. after so many years in therapy. Like the first thing that brought me to therapy was my ex-boyfriend and I don't talk about him fucking at all.
Mm-hmm.
And like the thing that brought you first to therapy is probably not that you talk about it probably maybe once in a while, like,
oh,
which
yeah.
of course I do too, but like it's not the main mm-hmm. thing anymore. Now it's about like, am I going to be able to book this job? Do I know what I'm doing in life? Help. Like,
no,
that's literally, the answer is abundantly no. Which is a lot with what we're going to talk about today of like how perceptions can be crazy, especially with an audition season. If you read the title, it's the audition season psychosis because it is a psychosis. But before we start that, I like to ask Robin every single time before we start the podcast is how are you coming to the podcast today? And what is your word of the day?
I'm tired. I'm coming to the podcast tired.
Sleepy.
Yeah, sleepy.
Mm-hmm.
But like not a like bad tired, just to like phew. Mm-hmm, we're mm-hmm. tired. We've been running around. But word of the day.
You put this on your story the other day.
And I did.
Yeah.
Yeah, my word of the week was confidence. I've been trying to like pick a word to go into every week with.
I love that.
I
love that a lot.
I always pick like a word of the year.
Love. What was your word of the year?
I actually don't remember.
Did you write it down?
No. I think I may have, but I don't remember what it was. Whatever. But this week's word is confidence. And just kind of like faking it till we make it.
I love that.
What about you?
I'm coming to the podcast a bit overwhelmed. I have a lot in my brain. Sometimes I feel like there's a... Oh, Marnie just... got excited about something. I always feel like I have a lot going on in my brain and I don't have anywhere to like spew it. You know, when you just like so much and you just like can't, it can't come out because mm-hmm. it's just, it's not time. It's mm-hmm. not time. It's not finished baking in there. And my word of the day is trust.
Ooh, I like that one.
I'm feeling like I need to trust in a lot of things. Myself, the process, the universe, my boyfriend, my relationships, mm-hmm. I don't know, breathing, that kind of stuff. Like, mm-hmm. I think that's my word of the day.
I love that.
So let's start with kind of audition season generally. Is this your first audition season in New York? Is it your second? Have you done this a couple years? Like, what's the vibe?
Yeah, so I'm calling this like my first true audition season mm-hmm. because my first year post-grad, I wasn't here in New York. I was in D.C. And so I was like gone from January to like March or April, which mm-hmm. is audition season. And then last year I was here, but I also wasn't. I also left kind of around like March, like right. February, March. And I was non-union at the time and I had never gone to an ECC or an EPA.
God bless.
And this year I joined the union. And
yay, congratulations.
Hey, thanks.
So exciting.
I know, very exciting. But yeah, and so but this year I was like, I joined the union and I'm pushing myself to like go to EPAs and go to ECCs mm-hmm. and really just start showing up. Totally. So I'm kind of treating this as like my first true audition season.
Totally.
It's crazy.
It is crazy.
It's bananas.
It's psychosis.
No, it's crazy. It's
psychosis.
Like, it really is. And like you hear the stories about it.
And they're all true.
Yeah. And I feel like I don't even know the half of it. Because
no.
Like full transparency, a friend of mine said this and I love it. Like, this is the year of I'm not going to pretend like I know what I'm talking about when I don't.
Yeah. I mean, that's this entire podcast.
Yeah. I've never been to an ECC or an EPA until today. Today I went to my first ECC and my first EPA.
And she ate.
Hey, thanks. I just showed up and that was all I asked myself.
That's all you need to do.
Don't know how they work. And talk about like, we had talked earlier about like being a girl's girl.
Yeah.
Three women separately, like, we're like, hey, let me tell you how this is going to work. Like, saw me, or I was like, I don't know what I'm doing. And they were like, let me tell you.
Girlhood.
Like, let me take you here. Let me show you. Yeah, I was like,
girlhood.
This is what it is to be a girl's girl.
This is what it is, especially in theater, which it can be hard.
Yeah, like people who go out of their way to mm-hmm. help you. I've never been to one before. And so, like, I hear the horror stories about what it's like to be non-union and go to these ECCs and EPAs, specifically, like, the really big ones.
Yeah.
Like, even today, gosh, I heard about, like, I think it was an ECC for a tour.
Yeah, I know which one you're talking about.
Yeah, and there, I just like
heard, everyone was there.
Yeah, I heard crazy stuff about lists and people taking them and like shoving people. Bananas!
It's not right. And so like, it's also my first audition season officially in the city. Last year, I don't know what I was doing. I actually don't even remember what I did yesterday. I don't know why I'm acting like I know what happened last year. I don't even know, but this is my first true audition season and it is banana nooners. Like even if you have an agent, even if you have a manager, like it's still hard. Like you are pulling shit out of your ass. You're literally like emailing everyone being like, please let me sing 12 seconds of material to get a job, please. Like that's literally what it is. And you think, you know, in school they tell you like, this is hard, this is hard, and you don't really believe them. It's a different brand of hard than I think I was told.
Yeah.
I don't know if you feel that way,
well,
but I do.
I feel like I wasn't even told. Like, no one prepared me for this. They just said, it's going to be hard. You're going to wake up early in the morning. I didn't know how anything works.
Nope.
I don't know where I'm supposed to be, when I'm supposed to be. Like,
what I'm supposed to wear.
No, I also like, what am I singing? Like,
what am
where
I singing?
Am I?
How long is a 32-bar cut?
No, what are they? Yeah, like,
I don't even know.
What is
the
protocol?
I
do I say my name? Do I tell them what I'm singing? Do I just go?
Like, if I'm doing two songs, do I sing right through? Do I give the accompanist both?
Yeah, like,
the tempos for my songs? I literally don't know.
I don't know what I'm doing.
I don't know what I'm doing. And we've been we're professional actors. We've done this professionally for like 2 years since out of school. And like, girls, you don't get more competent. I'm sorry to tell you, that really expensive education isn't going to tell you shit, like in a real way. But okay, so it's your first time really auditioning. So with that, you talked a little bit about this, but the horror stories of the EPAs and the ECCs, now you're equity, so it's a little bit of a different experience. But just to like talk a little bit about like what you've heard, and also like what I've heard is like these lists for non-union are going up at like 2 o'clock that's in the morning and people are camping outside. I'm like, guys,
I know, it's just, it's one of those things. I was talking to someone about it today and like, I'm not going to pretend like I know what that's like because I've never done it. And a part of me, the part of the reason why I haven't done it is because like, I don't know about you, but like auditioning takes a lot out of me.
Me too.
I have a very limited social battery. I say I'm a very social person with a very short and small social battery. Mm-hmm. And auditioning, especially like big cattle calls where you kind of have to sit around and wait, take a lot out of me. Mm-hmm. And so I knew that like I wouldn't do my best work if I was showing up at those early morning things and like maybe like, and like I have a lot of respect and like, because it takes a lot
to like, get up and
get
do that.
Your ass up and
you might not
show
even get
up.
Seen.
No, exactly. Like it takes, I have so much respect for it. And have so many friends who do it so often. Mm-hmm. And it's
and
like,
well.
And it's a necessary, I mean, it's a necessary part of this business and it's how you learn and it's how you grow. And I'm sure like I would have learned a lot more about like, I was saying today how I have no idea how anything works. I'm sure I would have learned a lot faster if I had shown up. But like, yeah, I hear these crazy stories about people like putting up lists literally at 2 a.m.
or the night before,
and then people like pushing people out of the way and ripping names up. And I'm like, the thing that I always think about is one, your peers will become your coworkers,
100%,
and your coworkers become the people behind the table. The people behind the table and your coworkers are the people that get you in rooms and
it's happened
get
so
jobs.
Many times.
Absolutely. Like
also like guys, everyone who becomes a director, a producer, a casting director was an actor.
Yeah. And it's
little secret.
Absolutely. And like, it's like
be nice to each other.
I mean, it's just so easy to like
to be kind.
Be kind.
It's so easy.
I know. And so I like
some people make it hard, but
yeah, but like I just like it's the show. It's the like, why are we, there has to be, and I know there's been a lot of discussion lately, mm-hmm. of like, there has to be some sort of way that we as non-union actors can regulate this. That
no, there
we
has
can,
to like, be a way.
There, and there has to be.
Without unionizing, obviously.
Yeah. And like, there's, I like, thank goodness that there's like an actual discussion that's starting to like mm-hmm. really be had about it because mm-hmm. it is like.
It's really bad for health and just general.
Right. And I was talking to a friend about it today. She was like, I was showing up at these early mornings and I was running myself into the ground and I was getting sick and I wasn't showing up as the best version of myself.
And that's not an impression you want to leave on casting, on your peers, yeah. on. Just generally, and also it's bad for your health. It's New York City in the cold is frigid.
Yeah. That being said, like I know so many people that have like shown up and shown out and waited all day and get seen and get the job. It's like,
oh, I've heard it. Oh, 100%. That's totally possible. But that's why people keep doing it, because of those stories, which I'm so grateful for. But also it's like,
it's hard. It's hard when there's this like, it bleeds into the whole idea within our industry that we have to be running ourselves into the ground in order to be working hard enough.
That was going
to
be my next question.
You know, like we love, that's a huge, like we look at the people that are exhausted and like on.
And we champion sick, them.
And we're like, oh, you're working so hard. It's like, what are you glamorizing? What are you glorifying when you say that?
So true. So fun fact, the reason why this episode is happening is because Kara posted a TikTok about audition season. And I was literally about to bring that up, how it's like we are told, I don't know if we're told this or if we somehow learn it by osmosis, I don't know. But if we are not running ourselves into the ground, if we are not getting up every single morning at 4 o'clock in the morning, doing our hair and going down to Ripley or Pearl Studios or Open Drawer, wherever the hell it is, and like waiting outside in the freezing cold and like elbow, tooth and nail getting in there, like we are not working hard enough. You are never going to get the job. You are never going to get on Broadway. You aren't going to do it. You're not ready for the intensity that is working on Broadway, working in theater. And that's like why I asked Kara onto this episode, because I was like, oh, you are the perfect person to talk about this with. And you mentioned it in your video. Yeah. And so let's unpack that. Like, where do we think that we as actors even learned that? And why do we subscribe to it when we all know it's such bullshit?
So hot take, I think it's something that we cultivate ourselves.
You think?
Like, as actors. Because at the end of the day, like, sure, in, I always say, like, this idea really starts and has its root within collegiate music theater programs. Mm-hmm. And then it bleeds into our industry because we leave with it. It's something that I feel like we learn in college and carry with us, or at least that's what I've noticed. Mm. I remember so vividly being in school. And watching the people that were working themselves into the ground, who were actively not taking care of themselves and sacrificing their mental and physical well-being, be championed and rewarded.
Mm.
And so we're taught that's what I have to do.
Yes.
And it's also, and to be honest, we cultivate this culture in many ways. Like, I'll give you an example, and we're all guilty of it. I'm guilty of it.
Oh, I'm
like,
sure. I'm
so
totally
I
am.
Like,
I mean, literally today, me being like, I'm overwhelmed. It's because I do 8,000 things.
Yeah. And it's one of the things, like, we seek validation so bad. Mm-hmm. And one of the ways that we do that is we share, like, we want to be told that we're doing enough, that we're doing a good job. Like, my biggest fear always is that I'm not doing enough.
Yeah, me too.
Always. Which sounds crazy. Like, my friends my friends say, like, oh, I'm not doing enough. And I'm like, what are you talking about? Like, you never stop moving. But, like, people will, you know, share on social media, like, oh, went to 3 auditions today, or did this and that, and I'm so tired. Because we want to feel validated. We want to feel seen. We want to feel heard. And we want to be like, wow, like, they're working really hard. But by doing that, we're, like, continuing that vicious cycle.
Yeah.
That being said, it's also a necessary part of our industry. Like,
I mean, yeah.
Hustling is a really, like, unless you're incredibly lucky, and one in a billion.
Yeah.
Like, you
or you
really
went to the Jimmy Awards.
Yeah, or you went to the Jimmy Awards. Yeah. It's so, like, it's something that we all do. It's so hard. And it's something that I constantly have to, like, challenge myself, because I feel like when I'm not moving at a million miles an hour, I'm not doing enough.
You're not moving at all if you're not moving a million miles an
hour.
God forbid you take a nap.
Mm-hmm.
Fuel your body, fuel your mind. Like, sleep. I mean, it's so true. Like, that's actually really, if I really think about it, yeah, that's a big part of it. Like, we seek validation so aggressively that even in the effort we're putting forth and trying to get the career we want, like, we seek validation that way as well.
Absolutely.
Well, because I think that's the only way we get it if we're not booking the job, you know? Like, mm-hmm. It's why so many of us do 54 shows and cabarets, because we need that validation, which is a really sick and twisted part of what we do, but it is such a core part of it that we can't, you know, it's an ugly side of it that we just have to, we have to deal with it, just what it is.
Well, it's because we, like, I this is something I am, like, really trying to unlearn, is that we put our worth and our value in how many jobs we get and how many callbacks we get and how much performance. Like, that's when we put our, like, I feel worthy and valuable and, like, I'm enough when I have a job.
Oh, me too.
And, like,
100% me too.
It's, I hear this quote all the time that, like, if this thing was taken away from you, what would you have? And so I, like, it's such an active effort that you have to make. You have to make the choice to seek your validation and find your worth in things that aren't attached to your career, or you will crumble.
Yeah.
Like, 100%. I don't know about you, but, like, this season, the no's have been knowing.
Like, yeah, the no's have been knowing.
And they've just been, like, they've hurt.
Or,
like,
even the doors aren't even opening.
Yeah, and they've hurt. Like, the no's always hurt. But, like, this year, really, I'm like, wow, I feel like I'm getting kicked in the gut.
Mm-hmm.
And I have to, and the only thing that's keeping me sane is I'm, like, actively trying so hard to, like, find my worth and value in other places.
Which is so, I mean, that's so important.
Oh, my,
like,
gosh.
So important.
You need it or you'll burn out.
Or you'll die. That's literally, that's what I was going to ask you next, is, like, how, like, maintaining sanity in this time, especially in audition season. As an actor, maintaining your sanity generally is questionable, because what we do is objectively incredibly insane. But, like, in this time when it is so heightened, when so many auditions are happening, and we call it audition season because it's really for the regional circuit. It's not because a Broadway auditions happen year round.
It's just like a lot of regional theater happens in the spring and summer and early fall. Yeah. And it all auditions right now.
Yeah. All right now. Like, all of it. They audition all the seasons all at once. All the EPAs and ECCs happen right fucking now. But I agree with you. Like, this season, for whatever reason, it's felt really, maybe it's because it's our first real one, but it's like, to get some of these doors open is, like, impossible.
Yeah, it's hard.
Like, and some of these doors just won't open.
Yeah, and I think it's, I'm trying to give myself grace to, like, see doors that I want to open, but there's so much happening, and it's okay if I don't open that door right now.
Yeah.
Like, which is so hard.
Oh, it's so hard. When you see a show and you're like, that's my dream show and I'm ready to do it.
Or you see, like, a call, you see, like, an ECC or an EPA for a season that you want to go to, but you're like,
I'm not getting
seen. I'm already going to this thing, or I'm not going to get seen. It's already full. Or, like, I had plans. Like,
yeah.
I had plans with a
friend
or something. Or, like, I have an appointment for something. Like, not theater related.
Totally.
And allowing yourself the grace to be like,
I made a commitment. I'm going
to
go do that.
Yeah. Like, I don't need to go to every single one. It'll actually be okay.
But also, like, going to like going to EPAs is just so exhausting, like generally speaking. Like I just can't even imagine going to them as a non-union person. Like I, truth be told, I've only been to like one EPA in my whole life and one open call in my whole life. The open call, significantly worse. The EPA actually went totally fine, but hilariously it was for the same show, which is really funny. And it's just kind of like when you know what the show is right for you, but you just like can't get that door open. Yeah. And it's for whatever reason. It's, you know, whatever reason casting decides they want to open or not open the door. Like, and you have no control over it.
Absolutely. That's something I've really had to accept, that like oftentimes it actually has nothing to do with me.
No.
Sometimes they already cast the person that the track plays opposite, and they're really tall and I'm 5'1". Doesn't make sense.
Yeah.
You know, like we were just talking about how like sometimes it comes down between like you and one other person, and the other person looks totally different than you, and it's a family that you're fitting into. Like, then it has nothing to do with you. No, then it's all about how you look and like
how tall. Yeah, exactly. It's like, okay, we got this one. A lot of the times it's because of that. They've cast somebody else in the show, and or they're doing a replacement, and the person that's already playing opposite you is a certain height, a certain, you know, whatever. Like, you have to fit into that show. A lot of the time it's also what's on your resume. How much have you worked? Which is kind of a sick a part that plays into our like we need to be doing a million things, because you feel like you need to like take every job and do every single thing when
well we're taught. Somebody once told me very recently that the only power that we
wield,
the only power we wield as actors and professionals and performers is in the use of the word no, but we're told that we can't use it. And it's, I have a very hard time saying no, and I've gotten a lot better at it. I tend to not learn my lesson until it punches me in the face.
Yeah.
And slowly but surely, I've started to like learn how to use that word in my personal life, professional life, more so like my personal life.
Totally.
But it's so true, because we are told that we have to say yes to everything. Say yes to everything. And to an extent, like, I've been there. Like, I talk about how I've never really been to like a non-union ECC or an EPA, but I have been to a part of my friend a shit ton of like summer stock cattle calls in college. I went to everyone I could possibly go to almost every single year, and they were crazy, and you hustle and they're bananas, and like it's truly insane. But that was the time in my life where I was like, I'm gonna say yes to everything so I can build my resume and build the connections that I need to. And I did, and it's helped me in my, you know, my post-grad career and my life.
Totally.
But yeah, I mean, it's crazy, because to some extent it's necessary, but it also is. At what cost sometimes?
At what cost? And also, like, you know, there's this TikTok trend going on right now where it's Kurt Hummel singing, oh,
oh I know, what did it get me?
Why did I do it? That's how I feel a lot of the time when I go to an EPA or an ECC, and I'm like, when you don't get seen at one, that's kind of how it is.
Truly. I think about, like, my summers in college that I spent, you know, I didn't make a lot of money and I worked really hard, and they were some of the best summers of my life, but they were hard. Mm-hmm. But that being said, I was fortunate enough and able to do it because I was able to spend 3 months of my life working for little to no money. Mm-hmm. Because financially I was able to.
Yeah.
You know, like summer stock in and of itself is such an elitist thing. And I feel like post pandemic, theaters are starting to kind of catch on to that.
Yeah.
And a lot has changed. But at the same time, like, that was such a privilege
totally.
To be able to go to these, to even to like attend these open calls. And I mean, we talk about like attending EPAs and ECCs
is a privilege.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. Like, people, we have day jobs.
Yeah.
You know, people can't just drop everything all the time. So it's so hard when you see people that are able to like go to 5 open calls and wait around all day to be seen, when you have to go to work.
Yeah.
Because we live in a city that's one of the most expensive in the world.
I think it's the most.
Yeah.
I think we were deemed the most.
Yeah. It's hard. Because then, and then the comparison comes in.
And then the brings us back to the comparison of like, so now that you're, because we've talked about this a little bit, but like now that you're equity, like, you know, what were the decisions you made? You know, what were the things that you took into account? You were talking about something that I actually think is really useful to think about, is like, when you know it's time to join the union, you know, and you're ready to do that. So like, you know, sharing as much detail as you want, like, what are the things that like led up to your decision to join Equity? And like, you know, was it a mental health choice? Was it a current professional choice? Was it a mix of the both? You know, what is your take on that?
Yeah, it was kind of a little bit of everything. You know, I booked, I had for a long time, for the last 2 years, I've kind of been able to build like a little successful start of a career in being like the non-union hire for an equity show, which I'm sure like you get too. Like, mm-hmm. like, because at the end of the day, sometimes there are only so many equity contracts to go out.
Most of the contracts that I do, that I have booked, are because I'm a non-equity hire and an equity show.
Me as well. Absolutely. And so for a long time, that's kind of like how I, you know, kind of made a living and started mm-hmm. to like build a little career for myself. And it just didn't feel right. I couldn't explain it. And I remember someone telling me, it was actually Jordan Dobson.
Oh my God.
We were doing Little Women together in Philly. And I don't remember how we got onto this conversation, but he was like, when you know it's time to join, you'll know. And I was like, okay. And it just didn't feel right. And I went on, I did Catch Me If You Can at Arena Stage, and it just didn't feel right. And I kept working, and I was able to like take some like great non-union gigs.
Yeah, you did a lot.
In the last year, mm-hmm. which I was like, oh, I'm so thankful I didn't take my card because this was a great experience. And it just didn't feel right. It didn't feel right. And then this last fall, I kind of like something in me was kind of like, oh, I'm starting to kind of like, this is something that I'm feeling like it's starting to be right. And so I kind of told myself like, okay, it's starting to feel like I want to take my card. The next union job I get, I kind of gave myself a timeline, I'll take it. And like 3 days later, You're a Good Man, Charlie Brown kind of fell out of the sky for me. And I was like, okay, that's a sign. It's time. I was also finally in a financial place where it made sense. Mm-hmm. It never like, I was like, it doesn't make sense for me right now. I can't afford it. Like, I feel like it would take more from me than it would benefit me. Yeah. And now I'm kind of at a place where I'm like, I'm in a place financially where like I could afford that big old initiation fee. And like, obviously mm-hmm. it's still a lot of money, but I'm in a place now where it's like
less daunting.
Yeah, absolutely. It's a little less daunting. And it felt right in my gut. And it's something that I always knew I would do. I just didn't know when.
Yeah.
And so I kind of took that show happening when it did as a sign.
Totally.
And here we are.
And here we are.
Yeah.
I think like for me, like I'm non-equity, and like going into like the psychosis of audition season, being non-equity in the audition season is really hard mm-hmm. because you're not getting seen it a lot. But like you said, like I work consistently on a non-equity contract, and that's every job I've gotten is because I'm non-equity.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Every audition I've had is because I'm non-equity.
I could say the exact same.
One of the like last couple things I wanted to chat about was if you could wave your magic little Kara Rose DiPietro wand, here it is, and you could change audition season for non-union union, generally speaking, how would you change it and why? Like, what do you think would make it better?
Yeah. I mean, here's the thing. I'm not going to pretend like I am like so well-versed mm-hmm. in the experiences of how and what audition season is, because I truly am not. Like, I'm so new to this, and I won't pretend like I'm not. But from like listening to my peers and watching them go through things, you know, I think I today had a great experience because I am a member of the union and I'm really lucky to be one in a place where I can be. And I, you know, I sometimes like at auditions, they can take a lot out of us. Mm-hmm. And we kind of do that to ourselves sometimes. I really feel like the root of a lot of issues that people have with auditions this time of year comes from these non-union lists going up at 2 a.m. and 3 a.m.
So true.
But I don't know what the solution is.
I mean, I've thought about it a lot, which is why I ask you this question, because like I think just like obviously we can't unionize, like it's just not a thing. It's literally what non-union means, not unionized. But like it's just like, I guess just there's no like, I think, systematic thing we can do unless there's like a server we can create for non-union actors.
Yeah.
Where it's like no union actors can use it. It's just non-union and it's a virtual list and it opens up just like equity does.
Sure.
And you put yourself on the list, and that way you don't have to get up at 4 o'clock in the morning. Or maybe you do get up at 4 o'clock in the morning, but it's to get online and not get out of bed and just like wait in the server and hope that it lets you in. Like, that's kind of it. Or you could get up and go. Like, at least there's a choice in that way where it's not unionized. It kind of has a similar vibe to the union. What happens, you guys, like, it's the same thing that happens. It's just not through the union. It's just through like an unofficial like listserv that maybe we create an agreement with in casting.
Yeah.
That would be like, I guess, the only systematic thing I can think of. But like in terms of non-union girlies, just being like, guys, a common understanding of like, we don't put a list up at 3 o'clock in the morning. That is insane.
I know, it's crazy. And like, I know today, like at the same time, I was at an ECC and two girls picked up the non-union list and they immediately sat down. They kind of like taught and transferred it to like the official non-union list in the same order. But then I went over to Pearl and I was like, and everyone was like, oh my gosh, did you hear what happened upstairs? I was like, no, what happened? And they were like, people were making lists and then taking it and be like, we're not using this and putting it away. And like, it's just this. It's so hard. It's like we have to come to some kind of common understanding. Like it's
that's inhuman.
It's also one of those things like this industry is so isolating. This mm-hmm. career is so hard because we are constantly in competition with one another. Like
all the time.
I'm sure like you've talked about Lauren on this podcast. One of mm-hmm. our good friends, Lauren Isha, and I, we constantly like are going in for the same roles. Like we'll joke and she'll be like, can you read for me? And I'm like, is it for so-and-so track at this theater? And she's like, yes. I'm like, great, can you read for me?
That's
constantly we're constantly amazing. Going in for the same things and it's hard.
Yeah, it's hard.
You know, it's hard. And that like that alone is so hard because it feels like you're being pit against one another, and the only control that we have for one another, we only control that we have is being there for one another.
Yeah, that's literally all we can do.
And it's hard, and it's something you have to actively choose to do. Like it's really hard sometimes to see your friends go in for things that you had a callback for but then didn't move forward. It's hard.
It's
seeing
horrible.
Friends submitting an EcoCast and seeing your friends go in person. It's hard leaving an audition room and not being asked to dance when all of your friends have.
Mm-hmm. How do you deal with that comparison narrative? Like how, especially with your friends, like especially with Lauren, like who is, yeah, one of our great friends, like, and you are so similar in type,
oh my
but
gosh,
also
yeah.
so different.
It's, yeah.
It's type is so fake. Maybe yeah. I'll do a podcast on that. Type is fake. But like, how do you, like, what do you do with yourself? Like what inner things are you saying to yourself? Like, are there things you do when you go to an audition to just like shut it all out and not pay attention? Because I know when I go to an audition, I'm sitting there and if I recognize someone, I'm going through my head of what's in their resume. Mm-hmm. What have they done? What have I seen them do? And if I heard them sing, I'm looking them up on Instagram. I want to hear what they sound like. Like I do that and I've tried to stop. I'm literally like, stop doing that. Sit there, put your, like, what do you do? Because like for me, I like have to put my headphones in and I like, can't talk to anyone. Yeah. Otherwise, like, you know.
Yeah, I really try. Isolate feels like a bad word, but I really try and keep to myself. Unless I'm like actively not, like I'm not auditioning, or like I just left one, or I don't have one. My appointment isn't for a couple hours. Mm-hmm. And I see someone in the hallway. Like I really try and keep to myself.
Yeah.
I have to. Or like I will just drive myself crazy. And the something I'm trying to do this year is I am just asking myself to do my best. And like if I like the other day I was at a callback and it was for something that I was like, oh my gosh, like it would be really cool if I got this. And I knew the person who was going in before me.
Mm-hmm.
And she's so talented. And I knew, I was like, if I sit outside this room and I listen to her sing, I'm going to drive myself crazy and I'm going to rethink every choice that I was going to mm-hmm. make. And so I have to take myself away. Like I have to kind of walk away, keep myself within earshot, of course. And like,
they call your name.
Going next. Yeah. But I really have to keep to myself.
Yeah.
Like I'm trying to actively scroll less on social media, which is hard because I like make content. That being said, I don't need to scroll as much if I'm like, to make things.
No, you don't.
And I try to remind myself like my faith is a pretty big part of my life. And something I remember I was in college auditions and I saw this like audition prayer and it was a part of it really stuck out to me. And it was like, I know that you not only have a plan for me, but also everyone else in this room. Like it's not just me.
Yeah.
But I really just have to like kind of keep to myself and keep my head down and ask myself only to do my best. Because
mm-hmm.
if I do my best, that's all I can do.
Yeah, there's nothing else to be done.
Yeah, there's nothing else I can do. And I try to be really protective of like what I do go in for and what I do audition for. Like I don't share my self tapes. When I post a vlog of a day when I go in for an audition, especially if it's like not like an ECC or an EPA, I'll post it out of time. So like,
yeah.
No one will know what it was for. I try to be really protective of those things. Like for myself, but also like professionally.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know?
Oh my God, that's a whole other can of worms.
Absolutely. It's like the only... You only have control over so many things.
Mm-hmm.
And so I try to just keep all the control I could possibly have over the things that are mine. And that's all I can ask of myself.
When you're going in for a show that is well known and that a lot of people have been talking about, or like, 'cause on TikTok and also just the theater circle in New York is small.
Small.
We all know
small.
Each other. We all know of each other. Yeah. You know someone who knows someone who performed with that person and, you know, whatever. It's small. So we all know what everyone's going in for and what's happening. And it is really important. Like, that's something that you have power over. Like, it's your appointments, your schedule. You can choose to share that or not share that. It's totally up to you. And I know some people that go into auditions and are so bubbly and just want to talk to people and blah, 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 blah. But I think it's also important to remember that it is also okay, and it does not make you a bad person if you need to remove yourself for your own mental. Because at the end of the day, auditioning is our job. You're there to do your job. And if you were in the office and someone was bupping to you, would you think you were doing a bad job, or would you feel upset at yourself if you didn't talk to them because you had to get your work done? Mm-hmm. No, you weren't. You wouldn't. Like, that's exactly what we're doing.
Yeah. And like, there's a balance, of course.
Of course. I mean, don't be like rude.
Oh, but,
like,
yeah. But at the end of the day, like, it's, I think, allowing myself to learn that, like, it's okay actually, like, go to the corner, put my headphones in, read a book, knit, do something, bring something to distract myself.
Mm-hmm.
And then, like, obviously, like, when you see people, you say hi, because you're always going to know someone.
Yeah, always.
But, like, really, that's kind of been, like, I have to preserve, like, we were talking about, like, I'm a very social person with a very limited social battery.
Mm-hmm.
And auditioning takes so much out of us, because mm-hmm. we have to be the best version of ourselves for a very short amount of time.
Yeah.
Like, it's okay to protect your peace.
But it takes a lot sometimes to get there, get to that best version. That, and that alone is so much energy to get yourself there, especially if you're not feeling it that day. Like, there are some days where I go into an audition and I'm like, I am not feeling my best today, but I'm going to do what I can to be here. And like you said, as somebody who has like, who's very social, but has a very limited amount of social battery, you have to ration that. Like, you can't just be like throwing it to the wind willy nilly when you have a job to do. Mm-hmm. Like, you can't just be, and I feel like that gets so misconstrued of like, oh, well, she was so rude to me at that open call. She was so rude. And it's like,
there's a balance. There's a balance. Absolutely a balance.
And especially someone who lives their life like semi in the public eye within like TikTok, I feel like so many people are like, oh, like I met her and she was so rude, or like whatever. Like, not that I've ever heard that about you, literally ever. Sprite, bubbly little Sprite. But like, I've heard that about other content creators, and I just like in my head, I'm thinking, my God, like give them a break. Like the poor people, like you guys are just like constantly on all the time. And that's exhausting.
I always say, I give people, especially people that I meet from social media, I give them a two meet rule. Like the first time I meet them, if I get a weird vibe, it's like people have bad days. People are overwhelmed. Oftentimes you're meeting those people in high stress environments.
Mm-hmm.
So I always say, like, I will never, ever, ever judge someone I meet off of one first interaction, unless it's like very, very clear.
Yeah, unless it's like
but
bad,
like if
bad,
someone,
bad.
If I'm like, oh, that wasn't, like
that
the kindest,
weird.
Yeah, that wasn't weird. I will always give them the benefit of the doubt and give them, like, it's the two meet rule.
I think that's also important, like, just with everyone in your life. Like,
you
not just.
You never know what people are going through. You never know what's happening in someone's life. Like,
no, 100% not. And you can't take, I'm trying to work on this of, like, not taking everything so personally.
Oh, yeah.
Which is so hard because. As both cancers, as
yeah,
we're both cancers.
It's like we're built and bred for that.
We're built and bred for that. We love to take things personally, but it's so true. Like the two meet rule, like when you meet someone and you didn't get a good impression, I at least always turn inward and I'm always like, what did I do?
Oh, always. I'm like, well, what did I say?
What did
like,
I say? I'm so sorry.
I was literally in the shower this morning and I can't even remember what I was thinking about, but I was like, wait, what if I said this thing in front of this person? And what if they took it the wrong way? Wait, did I even say it? Like,
yeah, that's literally
so 3 weeks ago.
Like,
what?
And also it bleeds into like, that is so, like, it bleeds into the auditioning process because after I go in for an audition, I think I replay every single fucking moment that just happened. What notes did I hit? Did I act that right? Ooh, did they laugh at that? Like, ooh, did that joke not land? I don't know. Did they take it weirdly?
Yeah,
like,
was I weird? Was I rude? Like, did I make eye contact enough?
Did I turn my back?
Did, like, I leave too soon? Like, what did I do? Yeah.
Like, oh God, it's just like, you're like, stressed the fuck out. And then you're thinking about, like, also when you're at an audition, sometimes I meet people and they're just like the effervescence of grace. Like, they just walk in and it could just be that they're having like the best day ever and they're just like on a high and they like walk in and out graceful, they do everything perfectly, and after I look at that, I'm like, oh fuck, I'm not gonna get this job because they just walked in and fucking ate it. Like, I remember so specifically, I walked into a callback for a show and I had like worked with the team before. And I walk in and I do my audition cut and I scream it at them. I'm not even kidding you. Like, I actually think I blacked out and I screamed it at them. And I was like, oh my God. And then I did this, the sides, and it went much better. And I left and I like heard somebody else go in and they did it so perfectly. Mm-hmm. And I was like, oh, I'm not booking this job. I booked the job 4 days later.
Yeah, exactly.
Like you just
never, you never know. And that's, but the reason I cannot listen to the people that go before me, specifically it's, when it's for a role.
100%.
I cannot. Mm-mm. Listen to them. And that's been a really helpful thing. Like,
same thing with self-tapes on TikTok.
Yes. And I left that audition that I like didn't, I like made such an active point to not listen to her, feeling like that was one of the best callbacks I've ever done. Like, I've never felt so good, which is all you can ask of yourself.
Exactly. And if you had listened, you probably would have felt differently.
I would have been like, oh my gosh, like that was really funny. Should I say it like that? Or like, oh, she did this. Should I have done that? Like, I have nothing to compare it to other than my own work.
100%. And that's also very true. A lot of new work is going up right now. So for all of us, like in comparing with each other, like at least I found myself like with new work, it's the first time any of this material has really been done other than like a developmental read or a, you know, a reading or whatever, which is, you know, it is, an actor has touched it, but not in a real way. In
not
a way
in
that
like
it's
a, yeah.
Not in a like Idina Menzel touching Elphaba when Julia Murney did it before, you know what I mean? Like, yes. It's like we all know that she did it before, but the real Elphaba that we all have in our heads is Idina Menzel, not Julia Murney.
Yeah.
So like, important, but you know what I mean? Like, an actor hasn't left their unmistakable mark on that. Unmistakable mark on it. There's
absolutely.
Like a brand on it. And so going in for a lot of new work, I found there's like a whole different set of challenges that comes with that. Of like, of course, when you're going in for a part that a lot of people know, like the Mean Girls tour, or like,
sure, like it's
Six,
an iconic story of
or
an
like
established
Wicked,
character,
like everyone knows it, everyone sees the tape. Like, those self tapes never really bother me. It's the new work ones that really get me, because it's like, ooh, is that what they want? And you get into that cycle of like, is that what they want?
Well, that's something that's so hard, is trying to, I've been trying so aggressively hard to not be what I think they want me to be and start showing up as myself. Because every time I show up and try so hard to be exactly what I think they want me to be, I don't get the job.
No, never.
I think back to the times that I have gotten hired, and you know, I've had conversations with the creative team and the cast and like people that were in the room, and I got the job because I was me.
Mm-hmm.
Because I wasn't trying to be anybody else. And the thing that I have to remind myself is like, you're not always going to be right for it. You're not always going to be everybody's cup of tea. Like, and sometimes what we do is so specific. Like, I know, like, my sound is very specific, and it's not going to be right for so many things. But the things that it is right for,
It's right for.
But like, if we go into everything trying to be what we think our industry and the people behind the table want us to be, then who the fuck are we?
So true. And you also know? Like, I also think there's this, you know, vicious mindset we all get into. It's like, well, I'm special. I'm the star. I want to be the Meryl Streep. I want to be able to do whatever role I'm put into, I can do. And I think that is a narrative we get into our brains in college, where it's like, you have to be able to do this, 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 and this. Mm-hmm. That's why your book has to have 65 pieces in it. Your book realistically should have 4 songs that you love to sing. And then, of course, if it's a specialty audition, maybe like throw a 70 song in there, whatever. But like, of being like, well, I'm not good at my job unless I can do everything. I should be right for every job because I'm good enough to do that. And it's like, that very may well be true, but like, then who, like, if you're trying to be all of these hundreds of different things, then who are you?
Yeah.
Because those are the performances, at least, affect me the most. When I see someone do something and I'm like, oh, that's so right.
Yeah.
Versus when I see someone, although I never see somebody do something that I'm like, that, well, actually, that's not true. I've seen plenty of people do things that were not wrong for that were very wrong for them. But like, when the difference is like, when I see somebody do something that is so right for them and I'm like, oh my God, they just glow in that part, versus someone else, I'm like,
ooh. Something I'm trying really hard to do too. You know Ellery Ward.
I do.
She said something a long time ago. I always say, like, if I had had someone like Ellery to look to when I was in college, oh my gosh, it would have changed everything. She posted something, I don't even know when, I don't know what it was about, but she was like, I filmed this self-tape and submitted it because this is how I would do this role. It might not be what you want, but someone's gonna want it. And this is how I do it. And so, like, I know for those iconic roles that we talk about, like, for, I don't
Linda.
Know. Yeah, sure. Like Elle Woods and Legally Blonde. Like, I'm really challenging myself this season. Every time I get the chance to go in for one of those roles, to stick to my guns of like, this is how I would do it. Mm-hmm. This is
who you are getting when you hire me.
Yes. And like, it might not be what you want, and that's okay, but it might be what the next person wants. And the only thing that I can do is stand true in my convictions of like, this is how I would do it.
100%.
And, you know, obviously, like, this is how I would do it. And when they give you a note, you be malleable and you change. But like, the only thing you can control is you doing your best.
100%.
And then I'm starting to leave auditions and callbacks feeling like, oh, I really feel like I did some really good work in there. And that's all you can do. And at the end of the day, you never know what these people are casting. You never, ever know what's the next show that they're working on. We know so many people that go in for calls, and people behind the table are like, I don't have a spot for you in this show, but I do have a spot for you in this show.
100%.
Just show up. But the only way you can get those jobs is by showing up as yourself 100%. And not trying to be what they want.
And also something important to note for like people who are doing this or about to do this business or looking up to, you know, I mean, I guess like a lot of the young ones are looking up to like our generation of actors to set the precedent. But getting those relationships with casting directors takes a lot of time.
Yeah.
And of course, there are those really, you know, lucky cases that book right out of college and just zoom off to the races. Those are so few and far between. Those are the stories that are celebrated, which I really resent a lot, because I think those actors are phenomenal and so deserving of the job that they have gotten and that chance. I'm so happy for them. But it perpetuates this standard that is just not true.
Yeah. And those are the people I compare myself to.
Oh, all the time.
Which is so unrealistic.
So unrealistic. It has nothing to do with you. Everyone's journey is so different.
So different.
And like, if I ever get the opportunity one day to like teach a masterclass to like young kids, that question that I feel like always gets asked for at professionals who've like made it Broadway, done whatever you describe made it as, is like, how did you do it? Like, how did you get there? Everyone wants to know what the special sauce is. And it's like, I would, in those questions, if I'm ever asked that, would hope that I would say something like, you know, I'm not going to answer that question, not because I don't think it's a good question, but because your journey will look 16,000 times different than mine and will look so different from the person next to you and so different from, you know, your journey. It's going to look so different. There's nothing I can say to you that is going to make you better. No note I can give you that's going to make you book that job. Like, no. Ultimately, it's like, are you living authentically in the material? Do you like what you're doing? Mm-hmm. Are you being yourself? That's all you can do.
And like, is it the right place at the right time?
Are you, do you feel like, can you handle a principal role?
Or like, can you like, are, I always say like, I, every no I've ever gotten, I've been able to trace back and understand why, which is why I, part of the reason, like, yeah, to add on to why you say this, I try to be so transparent of like we hear no so much. Like,
a lot.
All
the time, actually.
Yeah. And like, I've been really lucky post-grad to like,
I heard one yesterday,
to work.
Actually.
Yeah.
literally,
like today. I've been really lucky to like work since graduating. And I always try and say like, you know, I do social media, but it's a highlight reel. I'm not going to show you every no that I get.
No.
But I trust me, I try to be like, I'm getting them.
Yeah,
I am
happening.
Not like, because I think that transparency is so important.
100%.
Like, you need, it's so hard to look to the people that are our age that got that. Yes. That's real. That got that.
When it's happening all the time. It happened today.
Yeah. All the time. It happened the other day. I was literally in my car and I had like four people in my life who are like my heart people get really great news.
Yeah.
And it was like after a couple days of hearing
no's.
Friends get, well, oh. Hearing other friends get yeses. And me getting no's, and it was hard.
It's
like
hard.
Felt like a kick. It felt like a literal kick to the teeth. And it was so hard because like, you, these are the people that you love.
And
you're
the people, so happy for them, but it's mixed with this like,
it's hard
grief
to,
and,
it's
like,
hard to celebrate people when you're celebrate other people's yeses when you're grieving your no's.
Mm-hmm.
Something I always tell myself is like, I know I will never forget the people that showed up and celebrated for me in those moments. And I will, I know that those people will show up and show out for me for my yes.
Yeah.
But the thing is, like, I didn't just stifle that down and say, okay, it's gonna be fine. I let myself feel it. I had a terrible day. I was mad. I was like bitchy to my boyfriend. I like snapped at my dad on the phone. I was just like
in a bad place.
Yeah. I was frustrated, and I let myself have that like self-indulgent like, why not me? Mm-hmm. Why not me yet? And then the next day I got up and I filmed a self-tape and I kept going.
That's all you can do.
You have to, like, my therapist always say, if you don't let yourself feel your emotions, you're going to give yourself an emotional UTI. Like, and it's all going to build up and then you're going to explode. It's one of the best things she's ever told me.
That is the greatest thing I've ever heard in my life.
It's the best thing she's ever told me, and it's true.
You're
so
gonna
I
get an emotional UTI. Yeah. So true.
So I let myself feel it, and then when I feel like it's done, or when I feel like, you know what, enough's enough, you just keep walking, even if it doesn't feel right, doesn't feel great. You just keep moving, because
and hope that the antibiotics work.
Yeah, and hope that the antibiotics work.
And the antibiotics are, you let your emotions out.
Yeah, you have to let yourself feel your feelings. And when enough is enough,
that's so true.
You pick yourself up and you keep moving.
UTI and all.
True. Truly.
That is hilarious. Okay, so to wrap this all up, I think I want to know, like, five things. If you could sum it up into, like, five things you would, like, advice you would give, not just, like, younger theater people who are coming up into this, but also people who have been at this for a long time, like, who have been pounding the pavement for years and years and years, haven't booked in a really long time, haven't gotten that yes, have gotten really close. Just everyone, like, what are, like, five things you would say during audition season? What advice would you give to them? I know that's a big question.
Yeah. No, I mean, this one is so cliche, but it's so true. And I was actually talking to someone today about how mad we are about how true it is, because it's so hard.
Oh, no. What are you going to say?
It's, what's meant for you won't pass you by. It's so hard. We were literally
so fucking annoying, but it's
me
so
and Grace Romanello were talking about this today at 9 in the morning in Ripley Greer. We were like, it's so annoying, but it's so true.
It's so fucking true.
Like, and I always look back, I'm like, oh, that's why. What's meant for you will not pass you by. In order to create live art, you have to live, which means if you have a trip planned, if you're, like, going on vacation and you're scared and you're like, should I cancel it so I can be here for this ECC or this EPA? No.
Go on the vacation.
You have to live. Like, there will always be another audition.
100%.
And if it's meant for you, it'll happen. Show up and show out for the people in your life when they need you.
Especially this time of year.
Yeah, absolutely. Like, we only have each other, you know, those Pearl Studios halls, that, like, purgatory,
haunting,
literally purgatory,
haunting.
Like, you, when you see someone that needs help, help them. Because we only have each other, and if we're against each other, then this business becomes even lonelier. If you are tired, if you are burnt out, you are allowed to say, you know what, I'm not going to go to this one. It's not the end of the world. Even though it does feel like it is, I know for me that's a really hard thing to remember.
It's so hard.
But at the end of the day, would it be taking more from you than you would be getting by showing up and showing out? And if the answer is yes, then maybe you need to take a second. And always get a post-audition treat. Doesn't matter what it is. It can be food. It can be an experience.
It could be...
I love either getting... It depends on what it is. Like, if it's an audition, if it's like a quick, boom, done audition, I'll, like, get myself a coffee.
Yeah.
If it's, like, early in the morning, I don't have anything else for the day, I'm like, I'm going to walk around TJ Maxx. I'm probably not going to buy anything. I'm just going to walk around.
Your favorite thing to do.
Yeah. Or, like, I will, like tonight, I went to three things today, which is bananas.
Yeah, that's a lot.
I've been thinking about the, like, have you seen the dessert bowl trend on TikTok that people
no.
do? People are making these things called dessert bowls, which are just a giant bowl full of, like, a bunch of different things, like popcorn, some, like, Reese's,
oh my God,
some
obsessed.
Caramel.
Well, because I've heard of candy salad.
Oh, it's essentially a candy salad with, like, chocolates or, like, salty things. Anyways, I've been thinking about that.
Maybe
since
you should do that.
8 in the morning.
That so should be your special treat.
Oh, it will be. I've been thinking about it all day. We're gonna have a Boom Chicka Pop base. I have these, like, Lily's chocolate covered caramels.
Oh, you deserve to sit down on your couch with little Maisie.
Yeah, having something that's, like, so not theater related that brings you joy is
knitting.
So important.
I'm sure you will knit.
Oh yeah, there's knitting in my bag. That's my like EPA ECC craft.
I love that. My post audition treat is often a matcha latte, or I will let myself go to Sephora.
Ooh,
I don't allow myself to go there very often because
it's
super expensive. Also, the 10-year-old's frightening.
Scary.
I don't like being
They're
there. They're there a lot and it freaks me out. So I'll either go to Sephora, or I work in retail and I get, like, a percentage off, or I will let myself buy a piece of clothing.
Yep.
But, like, just like a little, or like a bow. I'll show you after I bought this really cute bow that was originally, like, insanely expensive, and then was, like, nothing. Okay. Well, thank you so much for coming to talk with me today.
I feel like every time I, like, have a, are we hugging? I feel like I always black out and don't remember anything of what I said. So I can't wait
you
to
said
listen
beautiful.
Back to
oh,
this.
It's going to be so fun. It's going to be so fun.
Like,
and flirty.
What did I say?
Thank you guys for joining us as per usual. enjoy your whatever day that I post this on is.
Yay! Okay, bye.